Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. Today, our pastor continues a series titled, Breaking Soul Ties. This is message number 4, titled, Deliverance from the Soul Tie. And now, here's Pastor Billy.
It's very important that we see in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4:18, the mandate upon Jesus. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he gives a broad menu here of what the Spirit of the Lord is on him to do. You know, preach the gospel to the poor, give recovery of sight to the blind. But one of these areas is set the captives free. And, you know, you've got to be set free. But before you can be set free, you've got to admit that you're a captive. And in this area of the soul tie, it's very interesting because whenever your emotions are tied into somebody and it's time to move on, you know, oftentimes, you know, we tell you to connect, but then things change and then we tell you disconnect. Well, disconnecting can be harder than connecting because marriages aren't supposed to end. Death isn't supposed to happen. Friendships aren't supposed to move across the country. Jobs aren't supposed to transfer you. You know, buildings aren't supposed to go up where there's precious memories. And so often we forget we're living in a world of such change and transition, people included, and things aren't supposed to happen, but they do. We're not prepared for them, and so our emotions get locked up into the past and into what was, into what used to be. And we become a captive to that. Now, it's not disease. We're not dying of cancer. And, you know, it doesn't break you and cause you not to have any money, and you still have your house and your health. And so things seem outwardly very, very normal, but inwardly you're bound. Your innermost being is connected now, and you don't even realize it, but you can't go any further. You're limited into how many preachers you can accept and listen to because you're connected to somebody that you love so much but who's not in. And so you compare and you can't move into new revelation and you can't move into new relationship and you can't move into new understanding. And it's because everything, you're still connected. Oftentimes people can't remarry, still connected to the ex. And oftentimes people can't move because they're bound and connected to a house. And they can't move. So much, you need deliverance. I don't know what else to say. You need deliverance. And doesn't make you bad, doesn't make you wrong. It just makes you in need of a power touch from God that'll break the chain, break the connection, break the tie. Do you hear me? Break the tie. You see, you and I mean, Adam and Eve did not have a belly button. I'm going to say that again. Adam and Eve did not have a belly button. They were created. You and I have a navel because we came tied. We came connected. And from that day on, we became people that connect with people and places and things and objects. And some of it right, some of it wrong. But irregardless of right or wrong, change comes. And we've got to be willing when change comes to make that adaption. And to move on. Not doesn't mean we have to be heartless. Doesn't mean we have to have fish eyes. Give it all. Love big. Give a lot. Invest. But when it comes time for something to something has changed, maybe with or without, you know, your knowledge. And a lot of times you're a victim in some of these things. You didn't ask for it, but it just, a circumstance takes place and it affects you. And you know, you have to think and get fast on your feet and recover, and you can't, and you want to. You really do, but you're having a hard time. Having a hard time because you still love, you still feel, you still think, and thank God that you're still alive, but time is marching on, life is moving forward, and you're stuck back there. Your feelings are trapped, and you can't feel again, and you can't love again, and you can't get involved again, and you lose desire. You know, you used to like to water ski, and now you don't. And you used to like to go down shopping, and now you don't. And, you know, you're wondering, what is going on with me? And you need delivered. You need to get your emotional part of you set free. You need to unlock the rich resources of feeling and creativity that are still in you that have been bound and put on hold because of the change that's happened in your life. Devils have entered into the picture. Devils don't want you to get a new start, a fresh start. demons have been assigned to keep you tied and locked up. And yeah, they let you go to church, they let you hear sermons, but they don't want you to get the tie broke. They don't want you to connect your misery to a past relationship. They don't want you to connect your misery to a particular place or a particular thing, because it, and you can't connect it because it means a lot to you. It's special. It's not bad. And you know, sometimes it's bad and sometimes it's a good memory, and both can be dangerous if it keeps you where you are and doesn't permit you to move forward. You need deliverance. When you can't do something by yourself and you need God to do it, you need deliverance. And again, it's not bad, it's not wrong, it's just a part of life, and it's a part of kingdom living that we need deliverance from time to time. And so often we need deliverance, we understand, from nicotine and from pornography and from alcohol and, you know, from all, oh yeah, we understand all that, but oh, from relationships, you bet. You bet. You better believe it. We need deliverance a lot of times from being bound up on the inside and getting our emotions set free. Because your emotional part of you, according to your emotional health, is what you'll be able to stand and to hold and to embrace. If you can't handle emotionally your family, then you won't be much good. If you can't handle your family, your home, paying your bills and being a contributor in society, then you're going to become dysfunctional pretty quick. Your emotional fortitude is strong. It's necessary. Jesus said, first the seed, then the stalk, then the ear, then the fruit. Notice what he said, first the seed, then the stalk. You know, the fruit don't come before the stalk. That stalk is the supporting system that holds the fruit in place. And that's the emotional part of our lives. That's the strength of emotional is put in place. That's the emotional infrastructure that we need to be able to handle the load, the burden, the assignment that God has for us. And so whenever you can't, and you can't seem to break out of, and that memory and that feeling and that, you know, that nostalgia, that deja vu, that sentimental journey, whatever it is still inside of you. You got to get the power touch from God. Where does that begin? How do you get a soul tie broken? I mean, how do you get delivered of something like that? Well, number one, you got to confess it. That's right. You got to confess it. Confession is good for the soul. You know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, and I'm not coming out and saying that a soul tie is a blatant sin, but it is a bondage. It is something that has to be acknowledged. You know, it's so important that you are aware and concede and give in, admit that you have an unhealthy connection on the inside of you to a person, to a place, to a thing, and that is holding you back. And see, when you confess something, it brings it out of the dark into the light. You know, you may know something. I mean, it may be in you, and you may know it, but if you never confess it, then you know it, it's in you, but it remains in the dark. Confession is the vehicle that God has given us to bring something. It's like a big shaft that goes down, or a bucket down into the dark well and brings up cold water. And so that's what confession does. It goes down inside of you. It finds whatever you're confessing to, and it brings it up out of the dark into the light, where God can now deal with it and where you now can see it for what it is. And you can deal with it. Confession is powerful, and it means to agree with. It means to agree with. It means to admit to. And sometimes that's very hard, because, you know, we don't want to think that someone that died still controlling us, or someone we used to be married to still controlling us, or some dog controls us. And most people get into denial because they don't want that. Well, because you don't want that doesn't make it so. Make it not so. Excuse me. It is so. And people around you see it, but how come you don't see it? Well, because you don't want to see it. Because you don't want to admit that you're tied to a puppy, you're tied to a horse, or you like your house more than you love God. Oh, don't get into those areas. Don't get into those areas. Just people get on their hands and knees to fix the flower, but they won't get on their hands and knees to say a prayer. I mean, why? They're connected to the flowers more than they are to God. I mean, that's just truth. people stand in line. They'll stand in line at the bank to cash their check because they want that check. They're tied to that. But, oh, they won't wait for a service that goes past 12:30. Got to get home. Can't stay. Can't wait for the blessing. Can't wait for the word in church. But, I mean, I'll wait in line all day long to cash my paycheck. See, people are tied. And see, the thing is, you won't admit it. Well, guess what? They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. That's when the book of Jonah, chapter 2, verse 8, that's what God said through the prophet, that whenever you observe a lying vanity, what is a lying vanity? A denial of the reality that's going on inside of you. Whenever you deny the bondage that you're in to a person, that old flame from high school still burns, that passion for that line of work is still controlling you, and that gambling is still in your blood, in your spirit, and oh, no, I'm over it, I can quit, that used to have me, nothing like it, I'm not connected to that, and listen to me, you're bound, you are connected, it's deeper than you think, and you got to get help. And deliverance only works whenever you want it. That's the only way deliverance works. Some things work whether you want it or not, but deliverance is one of those places in the Bible where you've got to be willing to be willing. And if you're willing to be willing, God can reach down in your deep, dark despair and begin to bring light and bring power and bring oil and bring wine, break the ropes, break the chains, and get you out of Dodge. I mean, so fast that the gunslinger won't get you. I mean, that's what God has. He has freedom for you and liberty for you and advancement for you and depth and perception. I mean, God has so many riches and blessings for you but you're not going to understand it while you're bound. A bound mind don't think like a free mind. You know, I mean, a prisoner don't think like a free man. I mean, when you're in prisoner, you think like a prisoner. When you're in freedom, you think free. When you're in the wilderness, you got a wilderness mentality. When you're in a promised land, you got a promised land mentality. But one doesn't understand the other, and one can't figure the other one out. If you have no money, it's hard to think like a man that has all kind of money. You don't think like him. You think different. And what I'm trying to say to you is that you think different after you're delivered than before you're delivered. It's hard to understand what all is being kept from you and what all you're keeping yourself from. It's hard to grasp that because you're thinking with a bound mind. You're thinking with the emotions that are all tied up. And it's like having money, but you can't get to it. You got feelings, but you can't get to them. You've heard people say, I got money, but it's all tied up. I can't get to it. What good is money if you can't get to it? I mean, what good is the tie that you own if you can't find it? What good is your car keys? I mean, what good is your car if you can't find the keys? And many of us have emotions that are all bound up and tied up in the past and with people and places, and we sit and stand like zombies in the church, and we have them, but we just can't get to it. We can't give all to God. We can't love Him with all of our soul and all of our strength and all of our might because it's tied up somewhere. Oh, I have it, God. I love you, but help me express it more. And God's saying, help you. You need delivered. You need deliverance from that which has you. You know, it's not just a matter of coming to church and getting filled with God. Something's already filling the spot where God wants to be. And that has to be evicted. The devil has to get out before God comes in. See, before you can be filled, you've got to be emptied. When Jesus told them to go to the upper room to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that's why they had to wait. That's why they tarried. You didn't tarry because you were finding a way to believe God. No, they were tarrying. They were getting empty of themselves and of their own expectations and of their own parameters. And you see, before God can fill you, you've got to be emptied. You've got to be delivered from all the unhealthy ties that you have. And who's to say? And when, you know, and before you think and say, well, I don't think I am. Just check your emotional health. So many Christians. Jesus isn't enough. I mean, they need a wild weekend. They need crossword puzzles. They need fictions and love novels and magazines. And nothing bad about all of that. But why do you need so much whenever Jesus is supposed to be everything? It's a sign, it's a symptom of the hole, the vacuum that exists within our being. And so you need delivered. You need set free. Where do you go to get that? You can, Lord, I have feelings that I can't get to. I want to cry, but I can't cry. I want to communicate intimate things, but my mouth don't seem to want to say it. It comes out like gravel. And I want to feel more than I'm feeling and connect deeper than I am. And not just with you, Lord, but with her and with them. And it starts, that's where it starts, confession. Bring it up out of the dark and into the light. And God then can begin to eradicate and heal and untangle and disengage and separate the abscess and make sense out of the mess. And as you confess, light comes. And as you confess more, more light comes. And pretty soon as you get it out here, not only can God see it, but, I mean, God already sees it. It's to get you to see it. And get you excited, like, wow, I got it now. There it is. That's my problem. You'd be surprised how many problems are connected right to this area of why you may be frigid, of why you may be cold, of why you may be unexpressive, of why you may be mistrusting, of why you don't connect with people, of why you don't trust anybody. I mean, you'd be surprised all of these symptoms, how they're so connected to the soul ties that you are involved in right now. And deliverance will set you free to fly with the eagle and to walk with God and to risk being loved again and to engage into relationship appropriately and putting people and places and things in their proper place. You know, to be connected to my clothes, but it's not that I can't give them away, and to be connected to my house, but that if it was blown away, I wouldn't devastate. To be connected to, you know, to have the place, the right place. And deliverance does that. It gets that spirit of obsession and that spirit of emptiness out of you, and it enables God to come in the big way and be your all and your all. Following confession, number two, there's got to be renunciation. The Bible talks in 2 Corinthians 4 about renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty. Renunciation is, you know, confession is to God. Renunciation is to the devil. Renunciation is to the problem. Renunciation is to the circumstance. Prayer goes to God. Confession goes to God. But renunciation goes to the circumstance that has you. It goes to the disease. It goes to the debt. It goes to the devil. That's where you renounce. Devil, I renounce you. Disease, I renounce you. You know, soul tie, I renounce you. Unhealthy connections, I renounce you. It's a part of you. See, soul ties have to be broke from the inside. You can get prayer. You can go and get, you know, and that will help. That will give relief. That will give, but the real disengagement, the real breaking has got to be from the inside. Other people can want it for you, but something inside of you has got to come to the place of admission where you say, I'm unhealthily connected to this, that, or the other, and I renounce you. I renounce my connection to him. I renounce my connection to there, and I renounce my connection to that. I mean, when it comes to drugs, it's a must. When it comes to Satanism and the occult, it's a must. When it comes to unclean relationships, it's a must. I mean, when it comes to the religious spirit, it's a must. When it comes to the bondages that have you, especially the ones that bring some form of satisfaction, some form of gratification, I mean, you've got to renounce. The devil's got to know that you want out, not just someone wants you out. The devil's got to know that you want out, that he's not your friend, that cigarettes and drugs and and alcohol and those people and that woman and that ex, that they're not, you're looking out for your best interest, and that it's time to move on. You've got to let the devil know you're just not doing something because someone wants you to do it, and you're not just doing something because you heard a sermon that said to do it, but deep down in your knower, deep down on the inward part, David said in Psalm 51, God desires truth, and deep down on the inside, you're letting the deep, dark devil know, the Loch Ness Monster know, that you want out, that it no longer satiates your need, it no longer meets you don't want that anymore. You're disengaging from him and from her and from them and from those, from the gang, from the place, from the group, from the alumni. You're disengaging because you got new places to go with Jesus and new people to meet with God, new connections to make, and that was then and this is now, and I disengage, I renounce it. It no longer is positive, it has turned sour, it's no longer sweet. I don't want it, don't need it. It's a lie, it's deception. In the name of Jesus, I renounce you, and I renounce this, and I renounce that. See, and when you do that, you're sending a signal that says, it's me, devil, it's me, flesh, it's me, Mr. Person, it's me making that decision from the inside. That's where the soul tie begins to really shatter at the root, is whenever you begin to renounce. Now, number three, after you do that, now listen to me, after you do the inside renunciation, the next best thing you can do is go get someone with hot, holy faith and tell them, put hands on me, please, and just reinforce what I just did on the inside. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, that's the best sandwich in town. You on the inside and someone with hot, holy faith on the outside. I mean, in the soul tie in the middle, it don't stand a chance. It don't stand a God. It doesn't stand a chance. And get some, and tell them, say, here's what I'm doing. I'm breaking this connection. I'm breaking this tie. This person meant too much. This person was a bad deal. This place was a bad deal. And just tell them, give them enough detail. If you don't want them to know everything, and give them enough information that it's going to enable them to pray with faith and power and strength, and tell them, say, please, I mean, reach out right now and just touch my spot, break the tie, break the chain, call on God, talk in tongues, I mean prophesy, but I mean release the anointing in me and around me. I'm in agreement, I'm yielding, I'm trusting, I'm nothing to hide, and I'm going to prove it by what I've renounced. I'm going to let you agree with from the outside, and then from the inside, and from the outside, we're just going to believe that this thing's going to snap like a dry stick. Hallelujah. And that things are going to begin to break all over and all around me. And I receive your prayers. And as they're praying for you, it's important that I agree. I agree. I agree. I agree. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Master. Uh-huh. I loosen. Yes, yes. I agree. Very important that you affirm verbally, out loud, as people are praying and breaking the tie over you. I mean, you're breaking devils, you're breaking darkness, you're breaking bondage, and things are beginning to happen. And it's important at that point that if you want to scream, scream. If you want to cry, cry. If you want to fall, fall. If you want to shake, shake. Let the thing manifest. Manifestation is crucial to being free. Don't just stand there and grunt and groan and turn red and bow your head and say yes. I mean, let that thing come out of you. There should be an emotional release. There should be a cry of excitement. And whatever and however, don't force it, but flow with it. And when it happens, realize that's the coattail of deliverance. The spirits are coming out on the coattail of your expression. In the Bible, that's what they did. On the coattail of a scream, on the coattail of a shrill, on the coattail of a tear, came those spirits out of the temple of God's people, and they were set free and released by the power of Almighty God. And then number four, ride the storm. There you go, ride the storm. After you have confessed, and after you have renounced, and after you've gotten someone to agree with you about this particular area, then you stand back. Is it over, Pastor Billy? Is it over? Am I free from the tie? I believe you are free from the tie as far as to the extent that you were tied. But I mean, once you've been tithed and the devil has drained you like a maple tree, putting a tap in you, and that's what soul ties do. It just taps out your energy and taps out your emotional being. After that has happened to you and you've gone through the renunciation and you've gone through the outside prayer of faith, and I mean, you've manifested and you're feeling pretty good, light and free, and there's still a storm to ride out, because you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested, you know. You're going to be severely tested, and there's going to be warfare. And that familiar spirit that we talked about is going to haunt you. He's going to show up with the pictures of the people you're disengaging from and the places. And he's going to show up with the voice and impersonate the voice and impersonate the feeling and make you feel guilty, make you feel afraid, make you feel ashamed. And how dare you? And I need you, and come back. And I mean, I don't know. I can't say what kind of storm you have to ride. I mean, whenever you watch the rodeos and you see these guys get on these big Brahma bulls and you go, oh my God, look, and you never know how it's going to go. You never know how the bull's going to buck. And the same is true with with this bondage. You don't know how it's going to buck you and try and throw you, but guaranteed that it will. Guaranteed that it will, because it's going to test you to make sure that you've made the right decision, that you're standing on your own. That's the big thing the enemy's going to test you on, is that do you really want it? Are you sure now? Are you sure? Okay, you broke the tie, but how about now if you just become friends? Or how about now if you kind of just see each other once a week? Or how about now if you just kind of go there once a year to that place? Or how about if I just kind of wear this jewelry? Jewelry can be a real item of bondage. I mean, I tell people all the time, if you have jewelry from a past relationship that was given to you as a gift, it's precious, and yes, it belongs to you, but it can keep that demon alive, as photographs can, and photo albums, and particular gifts that have been given to you. I mean to tell you, I remember one time we had a barn fire for things like this up in Canada years ago, and I mean the stuff that people brought from their homes. I mean, old pictures and love letters and artifacts and things from high school and flames . And I mean, the bondage, that keeps memories alive and emotions invested. And dear God, you don't want to get involved in that. Get rid of all that stuff. Don't be a pack rat. Get rid of all that stuff. And God's doing a new thing. God's in the earth today, shaping and shaking. And he has so much he wants to give you. But I mean, let the new push out the old. And ride the storm. Don't give the devil any room. Because if you have pictures out there and rings and artifacts and photographs and you have stuff like that, the devil knows you have that. He's saying, yeah, you're getting all that prayer, but boy, you're keeping those pictures in your photo album. Yeah, you're getting all that deliverance, but boy, you're sure keeping that ring from that boyfriend, and you're sure keeping that necklace. You must still care. Yeah, you sure. And the devil, see, he has information. That familiar spirit has information of things that are left over, looming around you, that is residue from relationships. And I mean, it's pretty hard to have a full understanding of inventory, but you've got to trust the spirit to quicken to you that blouse you bought whenever you were living for the devil, and that ring was given to you, and in exchange you gave your body, and I mean, and that book, and that place, and that man, and that photograph. I mean, you've got to let God bring enlightenment to you. That's riding the storm. That oftentimes when you're breaking the tie, you do what you know how to do, but you know, whenever there's stuff left at the scene of the crime and you're not aware of it, you've got to go as God goes, and you've got to take it in increments, and as he reveals it to you, you've got to, oh my God, that's going to go, and oh Lord, I do remember that, and I renounce that. And so it is time release. I want to say that again. It is a time release sort of mechanism that you don't always know everything up front. You just know you need to get free in your emotions, and yet there's evidence laying all around you, and so it takes time. And so you got to ride the storm. Well, how long? I don't know how long. I mean, a week, a month, 2 months, 3 months. It depends on your level of cooperation. You know, you can accelerate the process by total disclosure. You know, as much as you know. As much as you know, as much as you have in your possession. anything that could keep relationships alive. You mean throw out pictures? Of course. You're out of the relationship. What do you want the picture for? What about my ring? That ring, what about it? It's just a piece of ring, just a jewelry. It's nothing. I mean, they're still making it. What do you want it because it connects you to him or it connects you to her? What do you want that necklace for? Well, it's a nice necklace. Oh, come on, get over it. They're still making them. Get a new one for the new person that you are. The Bible says when Jesus came out of the grave, he didn't keep the same clothes on, did he? He took his clothes off and he folded them in the tomb. He took his face napkin off and folded it in the tomb. He said, the clothes that I suffered in, I don't want to rule in. I don't want to come out of the grave with the same clothes I went into the grave with. I'm coming out with a new wardrobe, the resurrection wardrobe. See, God wants you to come out with new. Don't live on with the clothes and the jewelry you suffered in. You know, let them go. Let them go. Or they bring $5 at the garage sale. No, no, no. This is worth a lot of money. Then sell and donate it to your church. Put it to the property your church is looking for or the building addition or feed the poor. Do something constructive with it. But don't be caught up in, you know, in the love of this and the love of that, because it's just further indicating that you're tied more than what, you know, and now you're getting down to the nitty-gritty and you're getting cold feet. Hey, this requires, whenever you take an axe to the root, think about that. When you take an axe, you don't think, we say it so much, we don't realize how radical an axe to the root is. Fellowship in the Bible was created for this reason, and that is that your emotional investment would be more broad-based. That as God gives you special people, yes, you connect and let them in a little further, but you also need people on different levels. You know, you need people that are deep, but you also need people that are shallow. You know, you need people that are heady, but people that are hearty. You know, you need people that everywhere. You need people that are Bible-oriented and people that, you know, just kind of like relationship-oriented. You need all different kinds of people. And the healthier you are is whenever your fellowship, your support group is more flavored and diverse and you have a broad base, and as you receive them, they receive you. As you accept them, they accept you. And you incorporate them into your broad base. You see, and you allow them in, but never into the foundation. They're part of the building, but not the foundation. See, the foundation is the Lord, you know, and the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God, and they're not allowed into that part of you, but they're allowed into the building part of you, and you know, and so you fellowship now, and now you're learning from your mistakes. You're learning not to let them in that far and not to give away that much. And you're waiting now to realize is that that's not good for you and this is what's good for you. And only God deserves that part. But I do need people. But I can't tell all and I can't share all. And see what I mean? That's fellowship. And you keep things in perspective. And now the Holy Spirit comes in behind all of your effort. Your confessions, your renunciations, the prayer that you're getting, you know, it comes in behind all of the price you're paying to ride the storm and resist the wooing spirit to take you back into that. Because it's easier to do that. It's easier to go with the tide than to swim against the tide. But the Holy Ghost is watching you. He's watching you. And I promise you that he has a place of emotional health for you. And what happens is you begin to be healed on the inside. Freedom begins to come. You're disengaged now. Freedom begins to come. You're experiencing newness. Freedom. The healing in your soul. Feelings begin to show up. Oh, hallelujah. Feelings begin to show up. You begin to have the warmth again in you that you once had before the poison got in. You know, there's a sense of you wanting to be lighthearted. There's a sense of you wanting to laugh. There's a sense of you wanting to cry. And there's a sense of you wanting to think. And there's a sense of, you know, your creative juices or things are beginning to heal all around you. There's a sense of you wanting to almost trust again and get involved again. And now you want to go on that vacation, and now you want to love, and now you want to compliment, and now you want to give and not just take. And I mean, things, you're being healed. You're being healed. You're being healed. It's so wonderful to be healed. But to be healed, you've got to get in the place to be healed. And that comes by getting that tie broke. God now is able to put your life in perspective and put it in the proper order that it should be. He's now able to teach you by His Spirit and by His Word of where to place people and where not to place them, and the spot that only He reserves for Himself. And you learn this, and now you've learned a valuable lesson that you can use to help other people, and now you've learned a valuable lesson that you can use to pass on down to others, especially your children or your grandchildren. And it becomes so rich to you because you're feeling different now. You know, you're feeling better about yourself. Confidence is showing up. And you're wondering, wow, I'm getting stronger. Yeah, you're getting stronger, but trace the why. You rode the storm out. You know, you put things in their perspective. You gave God back His proper place in your life, and you're seeking first the kingdom of God, and now you have a foundation, and if something changes all around you, you fall into something, not into nothing, and you're more secure. There's no price for that. Oh, it's hardly explainable to those that are so bound. It's hardly explainable to those that are so bound. But once you're out of it, you say to yourself, oh, I never knew, I never knew, I never knew. Now, will the devil test you? Oh, you bet. He hates to lose anything. He hates to lose property like you. He's going to try and get you wrapped up and tied up. Oh, but you're on to him. I mean, you got the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The eyes of your understanding have been opened, and you know now. You know now what this is all about. And guess what? When Jesus fills that spot in your heart, have to work at it. I mean, you don't even. I mean, yeah, you want to be on guard. You want to be aware of where the scorpion is, you know, in the sand. But you know, because you're so full. I mean, when that scorpion knocks on the door, somebody is home. Somebody is home, and somebody is in every room, and there's life there, and the lights are on, and there's nowhere for him to fit. Jesus said of the devil, he came to me, knocked on my door, and found no room. Every window was locked, and all the doors were closed, and I didn't answer the door, and Jesus said he just didn't get in. You know, and so what happens is that whenever God gets his proper place in your heart, and he's accepting you, and he's honoring you, and he says, you know what, I need you as much as you need me to fulfill my purposes, and man, there's an abundance, and there's a security, and there's a fulfillment. And oh my God, it's good. It's so powerful. And yes, and you still need people to appoint. And yes, you still need places to appoint. But they're the building, not the foundation. And now, watch. It's so healthy. It's so healthy. You're tied, but you're tied right. You're joined, but you're joined right. And it's exciting. And now you can begin to feel the love. You begin to feel the healing. And as you feel this and as you enjoy it, you realize, oh my, this is beyond human comprehension. This is that joy unspeakable. This is that peace that passes understanding. This is that mystery of the Holy Ghost that works inside God's people that trust Him and believe Him. And now you are holding a deposit in you. You have a revelation and a reality of something that many will never get. But thank God you got it. Thank God you have it. And thank God that when you look back, you're never going back there again. Thank God you're never going back there again. That your connection now is to Jesus, and you're connected to the Word of God as your sure rule and rule book for life. And you're connected to the Holy Ghost who helps you and connects you. And you're connected to the God-appointed and God-ordained relationships that He's put in your life to be your support. And everything outside of that, listen to me, is pick and choose randomly. Pick and choose randomly for short term, medium term. Hey, long term is Jesus, His Word, His appointed people. I mean, you now have fortified, you have found the secret to life. And that secret is what will keep you and sustain you and give you trial. That is what will cause you to have faith and confidence once again in the relationships and in people that God puts in your life. This is what it means to be delivered. And after you're delivered, oh, come on, after you have been set free, I mean, that familiar spirit's going to be so frustrated. He's going to be so angry. Why, he's going to hop and he's going to pop, and he'll never blow your door down. He just won't be able to blow your door down. And you're going to find out, my God, why didn't I get a hold of this sooner? How didn't I see what was going on? Because you were empty. Don't curse yourself because you're human. Don't get upset with yourself because you were in a predicament and you had needs and you left people in and you left places in and things became more important to you. Don't do that. You know, you can't repent because you're human. You can't help where you are when you are there. But now that you know, you don't have to go there again. You know, now that you know, I mean, you can go into the woods one time without the gun and the bear bites you, but don't ever go into the woods again without the gun because the bear may eat you. It's okay to get bitten out of ignorance, but don't get eaten out of stupidity. It's time now to prepare yourself. Because everybody doesn't mean what they say. Devils use people. And relationships do just change. And places change. And people changes. But God never changes. Acts chapter 17 is the rule that we live by. In Him we live. In Him we move. And in Him we have our being. That there's nothing greater that will sustain you than that. It's in Jesus Christ that I live. He's my life. He is my life. I move in Him. Every step that I take, my decisions that I make are in the Lord, and He is my being. He is my innermost fabric. He's what makes me tick. He's my being. When you have that, believe me, anyone else can't get in very far. They can't get in. You're airtight. You're locked up. You're taken. You're taken. You're owned. You're protected. You're going to make it. People, that's the power of deliverance of the soul tie. When you have that, you're able to go to any amusement park, any vacation spot. You're able to walk through the land and chew it like a piece of gum and spit it out because you're just passing through anyhow. You're able to enjoy every fine restaurant and walk away from it and it not mean any more to you than what it should. You can go down to the dress shop and get that dress on there and get the beads and, oh, I mean, get the hat and go, hallelujah, man. But, you know, 5 years ago, a year ago, that would mean so much. And now it's like, yeah, I see it. I appreciate it. But, hey, just passing through. Yeah, you can go out there to that backyard pool and that barbecue pit that you have. And, I mean, oh, you love it. You like it. No, you look at it and you always say, oh, look what the work of my hands have done. But, oh, now when you look at it, you go, eh, it's a hole in the ground with some water. Just passing through. Appreciate it. I'm going to use it. But yeah, I like it. But man, oh man, I'm so connected to Jesus, so connected to His Word. Take your vacation. You get down to the Caribbean. You see the crystal clear water. You see the stingrays and the coral reefs. But it don't mean what it once did because, oh my, oh my. Just a shadow of what's coming. It's so great, but who's in me is becoming so much greater because He's revealing more and more to me. And connected, yeah, but not that I would not live without this. I'm not going to manifest because there's no more. Oh, it's beautiful. It's freedom. It's freedom. And then you turn around and you look and you see the one who you're tied to. Oh my, Jesus. His name is wonderful. Sad hearts weep no more. He's come to heal the brokenhearted. He's come to set the captives free. I pray you too will be free right now in Jesus' name from every connection and every tie that's too healthy or unhealthy, that's out of proportion and out of place, that you may be placed into the Jesus that what He has for you right now. I release you. I break it by the anointing in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word HEALED, or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.